Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Best of Five, a weekly FGC talk show presented by these handsome gentlemen you see before you that
and
are
Efren.
Not shaving in the month of November. I'm Efren, your host. With me, also not shaving in the month of November, is Michael Donka Schiller. Also not shaving is John Velociraptor Guerrero. He writes for VanHubs.com. Also not shaving is Steve, is King Hafsu Durek. How's it going, bud?
Screw you guys so much. So very, very much.
Hey, man. I see a little bit of stubble. Yeah, right there where you're scratching, I see a little too.
This is the best I can do.
It's okay.
I have a disease.
You have to hair your ass than all of us. You more than make up for it.
How do you know this, first of all?
Well, you keep sending us those pictures.
The subs get the early access. They know all about what I'm talking about. Everyone subs to the channel to see Steve's ass. Let's go.
Tonight on the show.
Did we mention this show is about fighting games?
This show is about fighting games. Tonight on the show, we're going to give you one of them recaps that our bearded friend Steve.
I don't know if he's ready.
We're going to have a recap. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. And we'll probably spend about at least an hour talking about how Ryan Reynolds voicing Pikachu is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Is it? Probably.
And then, Steve, I hate to put you on the spot. I know we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but I am going to ask you to be very detailed and give us clinching scenarios for players going into the CPT. Capcom Cup.
I think I can do that.
You sure? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Sure. I can make it happen.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and start with a recap, Steve?
Let's do that. There was a bit that went down this past weekend. Starting with my, where did it go? I closed the wrong window. I apologize.
That's okay. We'll just wait here in silence while you call that back up. I mean, John's okay. Already texting his girl probably.
I'm on the chat.
Cool. So am I.
All right. Here we go. Sorry about that. Gfinity continued over in the UK with its third week of regular season play, and the word of the day was beat down. Every single match was a 4-0 wash. Excel and Vitality picked up wins in Group A. Fnatic and Nordavin picking up wins in Group B. What does that mean to the table? Well, it means you've got, on both sides, two teams on two wins, two teams on one win, and one team still looking to get that first victory of the season. Just two rounds left before the playoffs. This week is actually an off week for Gfinity. They return on Black on the 24th, so the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Were you trying to say Black Friday?
I was, but then I realized that it takes place on Saturday.
Hey, shout outs to Magnegro for the sub.
And also Deltron and Die by Sword.
Hey, Deltron, Die by Sword. Divasaur, have you ever subbed on us before? That sounds like a new name. I don't think I've ever heard that one before. shout outs.
Welcome to the chat.
Yeah, thank you very much. Now, Steve, for anybody who is the first time we're hearing about this and don't actually know, what is the Gfinity Elite Series?
Gfinity is a team-based Street Fighter competition. It's actually three different games. Street Fighter, I forget what the second one was, but the third one is FIFA. Rocket League, excuse me. So it's Rocket League, Street Fighter, and FIFA. They have teams. They play in a round robin. Top two from each group advance to the playoffs. There's a top four. Champion is crowned in each game, and then an overall championship crowned across all three games. They actually just started a version for Australia a few weeks ago as well.
And where can you watch it?
It's on Facebook. It is not on Twitch. They do also broadcast over the air in the UK. I believe Jinx TV has it as well, if you have that in your cable package. I know it was the case last season. I'm not 100% sure about this season.
Okay, thank you very much for that information on Gfinity Elite Series Season 4.
All right, well, let's bounce to perhaps my favorite tournament name of all time, Donka's favorite too, Climax of Night. It's a great name. It's a perfect name for this. This was a major that was focused on the French Bread games. So Dengeki Bunko Fighting Climax, Melty Blood, Unist. You saw they had players from Japan come out as well. Clear Lamp being one of those. He took it over Red Blade Grand Final. Sanaru making top four, but finishing behind a couple of American players. Tamaki winning DFCI. I always get that confused because I want to call it DBFC. But it was a pretty exciting event if you did get to watch it. And afterwards, after the Unist tournament, the developer came on and said that there was going to be some surprising news coming out for Unist in the near future. So be on the lookout for that.
What do you guys think it could be? John?
I wasn't listening. What?
Under 9 a.m. birthday.
I just realized that I'm the only one of us in the chat that doesn't have a sword, and that's not okay with me.
I mean, what did anyone tell you?
You know, I'm thinking, honestly, the way fighting games have gone, we're going to see some form of guest character. I mean, we've seen all the crossovers with what Tekken's doing with BlazBlue cross tag, even with KOF, you know, Terry Bogard appearing in like every other fighting game out there. So
now there's minor crossover in Unist already. There's crossover from their own game in, what's her name? Eltnum. And then Akatsuki is from a different game, Akatsuki Blitzkampf. But yes, it would be interesting to see like a true crossover.
Agreed.
Thank you for that, Count
John.
Let's kick it over to Tekken. Tekken World Tour is dark on tour until the TWT finals at the beginning of December. But you did have the International Esports Federation hosting their 10th annual World Championship. Tekken was part of that lineup, and you see a name up top that maybe you don't expect to see. Sora winning the gold medal for Saudi Arabia, taking over Hokkaido in the grand final. Chanel finishing third, meaning that for the 2 years that ISF has hosted Tekken 7, Korean players have not won either year. So a bit of a surprise to a lot of people. But Sora, very strong player, just missed top 16 at, I want to say, the Japanese Master event.
Is this your spelling or their spelling of International Esports Festival?
With the lowercase e?
I take issue with it, yes.
That's how I write it in that every is, article.
Well, you're right for Event Hub, so sounds about right.
Oh, God.
Sorry, what?
Moving on.
There goes the last of our retreats. there was one CPT event this past weekend. It was the online tournament, the last online tournament ever for this year's tournament. The last one ever. We're all done.
That was so ominous.
Yeah, online closed. No more internet.
Internet is done. Punk getting a much-needed win this weekend, coming back from the loser's bracket to beat Knuckledoo in the grand final. IDOM finishing third. I want to point out Mike Too Strong and Mojo, two Minnesota players in top 12. Minnesota nice right there. That's all I can hang.
That's what
my
people
hat.
Come here for—is the unbiased coverage recaps. Steve, thank you.
I can't hang my hat on my own achievements. I have to ride the coattails of others. Something Doc
got top 25 at Evo one time.
That's good, isn't it? You were talking. Wait, Tim. I'm gonna take a little aside here. You were saying, "Man, I don't give a shit about Stan Lee being dead. I wish he had died sooner."
Wow. Yeah, exactly. You know what? Yeah, I'm gonna take ownership to it.
And then I was thinking to myself, if it wasn't for Stan Lee, you wouldn't have made top 32 in an Evo title. How about that?
How did we get there?
That was quite the jump. But thanks, Stan Lee, I guess. Not really.
Yeah, we brought it up in the chat, and Donka said he just spat on the ground at the mention of the guy's name.
That's what happened.
Was what? It not?
That's what happened.
I don't understand what's happening here.
I'm just telling people Donka the truth.
Donka just doesn't care about a legend.
All right. Does Marvel vs. Capcom even have like Capcom Marvel characters anymore? I mean, like, I don't even know. Like, why didn't – well, there's no X-Men. There you go.
Ilan, you were telling us in the chat, the same chat wherein Donka said he wished Stanley had died sooner, that there was a lot of issues with this online tournament. Could you recap some of those issues as you saw them?
Sure. So this online tournament is free entry via Smash GG, which is a great – and as we've been learning for the past couple years with these online tournaments, also a terrible thing. I'm going to pull up the graphic here. If you look at that bottom left, Steve made the calculation that 64... We're gonna round that up to 65.
Basically two-thirds.
Yeah, two-thirds of the matches in this entire tournament ended in DQs with people not showing up and not checking in.
I wonder what the furthest someone made it was without playing a match. Like, what was the best placement someone got through pure buy positioning?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the absolute furthest, but there were about 200 entrants in this tournament. There was someone who only played two matches, lost both of them, and got just missed top 64.
That's so sick. So, I mean, this is something we've talked about almost every time we have an NIA online tournament, and we've gone like at least 20 to 30 minutes on an episode before about it. And I guess my issue at this point isn't that it's happening. I think at some level it's partially unavoidable. It's that absolutely nothing seems to have been done to change it.
You were saying that you cut them slack in this regard.
I do cut them slack.
And I was surprised to hear you say that.
Well, I cut them slack.
Is it because you yourself, when you entered one of these online tournaments, no-showed?
Sure. However, the fact of the matter is it's hard to make these paid tournaments – because people are going to be upset about paying to play online. Especially with, you know, like the narrative on the netcode at this point, the narrative on the amount of DQs, organization and online atmosphere in the first place. Unless Capcom wants to go ahead and either use some software that locks you in or create one, it's going to be very difficult to keep track of things in a way that makes people happy to be paying for it. However, if you're not going to pay for it, you get the problem where people sign up because they can, and then you get this many DQs. And so it's going to be really difficult for them to fix that, but I'd like to see some sort of move or some sort of statement. Because obviously you're wasting a lot of people's time and a lot of hours sitting through these DQs. 66% is just too much. Yeah, there's got to be a way to be better than that.
Yeah, and I do have another, not necessarily a counterpoint, but maybe a different perspective from it, is if you start charging for these tournaments, you're going to get less entrants. And what looks better to an investor, like whether they don't know that 64% of the people didn't show up and still have 200 entrants for an online tournament, or less entrants?
I don't think Capcom would ever fudge the numbers like that.
Yeah.
And let people not know.
I think there should be some sort of, I mean, maybe there should be some sort of check-in a couple hours before, and then they remake the brackets after that. I mean, there's got to be something. Because I'm guessing if you did even a minor passover like that, where an hour before the event you had to check in again, and then they remade the brackets, that would cut out a lot of these DQs. Would it cut out all of them? Most certainly not. Would it make it less than 66%? I think so. I mean, there's answers here.
And another thing,
that 66 is actually like, I mean, that doesn't mean that many people were gone, right? Because these DQs are like twice, right? Because there's a winners and a losers match. So it'd be like, a third of the people didn't show up?
No, it's not quite like that. Because there were a ton of matches where neither player showed up and they both DQ'd. Uh-huh. And they had to advance one because otherwise the tournament wouldn't work. So it's legit. If I had to estimate, I'd say about maybe 55 to 65% of the entrants did not show up at all. Now, what I wonder is, you know, would there be any sort of interest in changing the sign up process so it's you can only sign up like the day of? Because I know there were a bunch
that
of people
might work
who signed
too,
up early, and now that they essentially have very little to no chance of making Capcom Cup, they don't. They decide they don't want to make it, or they, you know, don't plan their day around it. Something else comes up. So if you limit it to say, hey, you can only sign up the day before or the day of from like 8 to 12 and then the bracket's ready by 1. You know, something like that. I don't know. And
well, the check-in feature takes care of that, doesn't it? Like, I mean, because Smash GG, yeah, that's what you're talking about, right, Mike?
Yeah, I think they have some sort of feature for it.
The midweek throwdown, the 2080 or whatever they are, esports tournament that's just like a weekly online, for those you have to check in. Like, even if you signed up, you have to check in like an hour before the tournament starts. And if you don't do that, they don't actually put your name into the bracket. It's like, we already have the technology to deal with all this stuff. It's just that... the people that are running the tournaments or setting them up didn't have the foresight or the wherewithal to properly like set it up. But the tool's right there.
Well, Stickman, what we're saying is if you don't check in, you get removed from the bracket.
Yeah,
the point of the process is the check-in would be a second pass over the bracket.
Yeah. And the reason why this is such a big issue is that each one of those matches with one or both players DQ'd is 10 minutes.
It's 10 minutes.
It's 10 minutes.
And, I mean, imagine that this tournament matters to you, which for, you know, like a solid 20 to 30 of these people, it might. And you see that one of the other guys that this matters to DQ'd, I mean, got a free pass all the way to top 32. Meanwhile, you had to play every single one of your matches. That sucks. That's something that could be avoided. And it seems really, really unfair. Based on, and I think these tournaments basically get automatically seeded based on Smash GG's use of the Capcom Pro Tour seeding. And that's been a good system, and it's worked to make tournaments like Evo slightly better seeded than they were before. And if one of those guys doesn't show up because they don't think they're going to make Capcom Cup, like Steve said, I mean, it just really, really messes things up. And it's bad, on the point of the players who don't sign up, but it's the job of whoever's running the tournament to make sure that this doesn't become the roadblock it is.
Is this an issue with other regions? Like, can we get, like, maybe...
I think we're the worst.
Yeah,
but
it might be a cultural thing, right? Because I think, like, in the Asia online tournaments and even in the European online tournaments, like, it wasn't this bad.
Steve?
Well, here, I can actually... take a quick peek if you want to.
Yeah, in the meantime, what if there was, I mean, everybody who's playing in this tournament most likely plays online, obviously. What if there was you had to put in some fight money to get in? Just put some skin in the game, but not actual money, although you can make the argument that fight money relates
to real money. Yeah, that opens the door to this is not just a tournament, this is now gambling. And that could be that's a road that I don't think Capcom or any, because you're risking something that has some sort of financial value.
In the same way that if you enter a tournament, you're risking your entry.
Right, but
seems like the same thing to me.
Right, but you know, if you have a physical tournament, you can verify right there that the entrant is at least 13 years old, at least 18 years old, has parental permission. I don't know if you can necessarily do that here.
Even if it is possible, I mean, part of the problem is just that fight money is like a null and void currency. I think in a situation where it was like Fortnite and like their in-game currency is relevant in some way, like it might make more sense. But unfortunately here, it's like, you can only gain fight money by like playing online or like,
yeah. And imagine somebody like Punk not having enough fight money to enter the tournament. You know, that'd be kind
of
weird.
I'm just trying to think of some way to get them to have the players or interest to have skin in the game where it's like, oh shit, I'm not going to just put this up and then walk away.
So just initial passover from the last Asia online tournament looks like about 25% to 30%.
Still not great. Of
opening round matches were DQs.
Now you could do something along the lines of what you're saying. Maybe if you enter an online tournament and don't withdraw and then DQ, you forfeit yourself from future online tournaments. And that would be a way to stop people.
There you go.
There you have to at least have to withdraw yourself if you're not gonna be able to enter the tournament beforehand. Just something. I don't know if it has to be that. I like the check-in idea or the sign up the day of idea. I think those work a little better. But
I mean,
they have to implement something.
Yeah, I don't see why the check-in feature isn't just like the answer to this, right? I mean, like these other ideas are totally valid. But I mean, if you're going to play in a tournament, you show up, you check in just like you would at a real tournament, and then you participate. You know, they take roll call at every single major and whatnot, like before they start pools. So why would online have to be any different? And then you just don't make it into the bracket. Problem solved.
And here's another thing. I really don't think this is going to change just because those entrant numbers, I think, is a very powerful metric for investors.
Yeah, I don't think they care that much either. They don't put that much into running these. They want entrant numbers. They don't get money either way. I don't think they have enough reason, and I don't think the community being mad has ever swayed them before, to be honest. So.
And on top of that, you know, it seems like with a lot of decisions about how the tour is set up, they make it a point to be as inclusive as possible. They have events in so many different countries, so many different places where they put their stamp on it and say, hey, you're part of the Capcom Pro Tour. You know, getting everyone involved is a key thing for them. And so I don't think they're necessarily going to put big roadblocks to getting people to compete online. So I think this, at least in their eyes, is the lesser of two evils. That was actually the last event of the year before the NA finals. So we're heading into, yeah, we've got one chance left to earn Capcom Pro Tour points this season. Let's take a look at the North American standings. After this past weekend, you have 6 of the 8 finalists in the CPT finals, or in the North American finals, clinched. Idom, Toy, and Nephew join Punk, Justin, and Knuckledew. You've got 2 more spots left. Chris T on the outside looking in right now. Alex Myers, Terrence, CJ Truth, Brian F. All those guys are going to be at the open premiere, so they have a chance to get to play their way into the finals. And looking at the global standings, which everyone is worried about, no players clinched officially. So we're still at 24 of the 32 set. Momochi, very, very close. Punk, who was right along that border, now has a bit of breathing room. Chris T, now the last person in. Nemo, as it stands right now, the first person out. But we'll talk about that more in depth later in the show.
Is it too early to talk? Now, it seems like Chris T would have a tough time not making it, right? Because even if he dropped below, he'd probably be the next in line.
That's assuming someone who is above the line wins the NA Finals.
Oh, yeah, so, that's true. And there are there's going to be a good handful of people in the NA Finals who are not qualified.
Yeah, and we've seen before, you know, even if you have a favorite or a couple favorites, those guys who are playing do or die in do or die situations, they come up with big moments all the time. So I would not, you know, in normal tournaments, you know, you might bet the farm on do or Justin winning an event like this. In this situation, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, the NA Finals is going to be really exciting.
Are we talking about Christie's ability to make it or not?
Yeah, he's not, as far unless something changed. I think I saw it yesterday. He was saying that he can't make it to Capcom Cup, right? He can't make it to the last chance qualifier, and the North American. I'm sorry.
I have the tweet right here, brother. So I'm unable to attend the North America premiere, so I have to depend on Knuckledew, Justin Wong, or Punk to win the North American regional finals for me to qualify for Capcom Cup. Here we go again, please. Now, he was asked, why not? And he gave a very thorough answer. Something has come up that requires my attention.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, it probably might not be something that he can answer to, but...
Or wants to, which is...
That's a crappy feeling. It's not that simple. I mean, he's still technically in points-wise. It's likely someone could pass him, but we'll see.
And we're going to talk about clinching scenarios. Sorry to put you on the spot, Steve. I know you weren't ready, but we'll talk about clinching scenarios later. Will Chris T be mentioned in that?
Yes, he will.
In that thing that you're not prepared for?
Yes. That I totally did not spend this afternoon writing up.
Hey, shout out to Dead by Sword for the countless subs that he's given this channel via other people, including Please No Bully and our very own bearded No Shave November.
I just keep forgetting, and he remembers before I do.
Yeah.
I'll give someone else a sub.
All right.
Thank you.
So we're looking at the Capcom Pro Tour standings. What else have we got here before we move
First person to guess my favorite color. Basic color, primary or secondary?
Primary, there's three.
Like I'm just saying it's one of those 6 colors. Like, just guess one of those 6.
They said green.
Haven't seen it yet.
Blue. Gay Pink says res to water.
All right. Hellacious, 1789. I will give you a sub later.
Orange. You would.
All right. So moving on.
Congratulations. All right. There was one more event this past weekend. Kind of a big deal. You might have heard of it. Red Bull Kumite. It kicked off with the last chance qualifier. It was originally supposed to be two players, but it got extended to three. So Hot Dog, Gachikun, and Junior Leo ended up taking the top three spots. They made it to the main event on Sunday. Big Bird once again one spot short. He's been so close. He finally got through, not too long ago to make Capcom Cup. But yeah, we've seen him time and time again get so close to where he wants to be and fall just short. So hard not to pull for him in this situation.
But now, this event, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't even a part of the CPT, right? It's just a badass Rebel event.
Yeah.
And they showed that you can put on a non-CPT event that people care about.
I mean, Rebel really kicks ass in this realm here. Arena, if you will. That was for you. That was for you, John.
No.
Okay, no, moving on.
And then you had the main event on Sunday, and it came down to Fujimura and Problem X, and this one went the way of Fujimura taking it over the UK star in the grand final to win the 6,000 euro grand prize. It's about $6,500 last time I checked. Daigo finishing third, Nemo making fourth. How about Smug, though? Smug, top U.S. finisher alongside Luffy for fifth place. Strong weekend for him.
He's
good to
always
see him.
Been so good in these invitational tournaments. I remember won South by Southwest like a year ago. He got second at E-League. Now he was the highest playing finisher here. It seems almost strange that in an event where you're playing versus only the best players, you'd be doing better than you are in open events. But maybe that says something to the way he prepares for players or the fact that, you know, good players don't shake his nerves. Something. But, I mean, it doesn't seem to be coincidence at this point that Smug is really, really overperforming in comparison to his open tournament performance in these invitations.
So my question is, does this make Fujimura the favorite heading into Capcom Cup? Because you saw Tokido getting seventh.
Those two, and then now those two have the what I would consider the on the year basis for being considered the favorites. And then Problem X, giving some recency bias, would be right there too. Those three make up my top finishers. But there's a lot of people that people aren't necessarily thinking of that have been doing really well, really consistently, like Luffy, who has had a really strong end of the season, really consistently making top eight and beating good players. Fudo has really picked it up. There's more than any Capcom Cup I remember, despite the fact that it never ends up being the favorite who wins. This one, it's hard to even choose a favorite at all.
Yeah, but like going just back to the early Fujimura Tokido thing, Fujimura gets red hot and he like ascends up to being the best player in the world on some random weekends, you know, and no one can touch him. But he also cools off and stays cool for a while. And so it's like he's consistent, you know, to here. And then sometimes he goes way up here, but he doesn't have consistency up here. And so it's like maybe he just blew his load and he's not going to be ready for Capcom Cup. Maybe he comes back by Capcom Cup and just lands on that as one of his really good days. But Tokido has an off day about as often as Fujimura has an amazing day, you know, or weekend, I should say. And so, yeah, Tokido, it didn't work out for him this time. But with his consistency, it's hard to still bet against them, you know?
See, here's the thing. You've got that obvious top tier. You know, Tokido's going to be there. Fujimura's going to be there. Fudo, you know, he's always in the mix for grand finals. But then you've got the player, you know, Problem X as well, especially this year. But then you've got the guys who you don't necessarily think of as you know, the top guys, but they'll absolutely be there. Someone like Akaba, who could absolutely, you saw what he could do with his guile. It's absolutely nasty. He could do some damage. Someone like an Oil King who's been there all around, all year
Big
long.
Big Bird who beat Tokido. I mean, Angry Xiao Bird Hai playing a character no one plays.
Yeah, Xiao Hai on his day can hang with anybody. It's just, it's ridiculous. It is so wide open this year. More so, I feel, this year than in any years past.
Shout-outs to Vicious, who just subbed.
Yay.
Guess the twins.
Okay, so I think we can save a little bit of this discussion for when we talk about the unplanned segment on clinching situations. But shout-outs to Gachikun. Let's talk about that.
Gachikun?
Gachikun. Ace, Steve, thank you for subbing. For getting picked up by Red Bull. Gachikun got picked up by Red Bull is the topic at hand. John, long time coming. He was like the highest ranked player
that
wasn't
that
picked up.
Hasn't, yes, exactly. But he hasn't been sponsored already. You know, I don't see any kind of argument against them. I mean, just he plays Rashid, dude. Like he's already really good. And then also he's a really good player that plays Rashid, and he's proven it over and over again. And while he hasn't been taking down premier events, he's always right there, and it's never been weird to see Gachikun finish in the top eight. You're like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. And you could see Gachikun winning in the tournament and go, yeah, that's not that weird. It makes total sense. And so the only thing that doesn't make sense is the fact that nobody picked him up and started giving him money to go to these tournaments and rep their name, because he's a very recognizable name in the Street Fighter V world. So good for him. Good catch by Red Bull. They're continuing to grow their strength. And like you said, like Luffy's getting better and such, and you know, then there's Bonchan, but I think it's a good look for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I would love to one day hear the team signing philosophy behind Red Bull versus Echo Fox. I'm still on that because, you know, Echo Fox came in hard, let them all, and then dropped a bunch. But if I'm not mistaken, like Snake Eyes is still a Red Bull athlete. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you know, everybody loves Snake Eyes, but he hasn't been performing at the level you would expect, and certainly not his Street Fighter 4 heyday, and not the beginning of Street Fighter 5 performances that he was having.
I do know this about Snake Eyes. I don't know about anybody else. I do know that he actually does work for Red Bull, too.
Oh, in what capacity?
I think it's like partnership management, something or other, where like he'll go to places and then speak on Red Bull as a company.
But you would expect that from any of the Red Bull athletes.
Right.
But not if... I don't know. I mean, I'm curious. Maybe we should just ask
him. I just know that about him. Maybe we should get him on the show again. I don't know. Or yes. Maybe not.
It's very hard to follow any of it. And a lot of it comes down to the fact that these are giant companies that hire people to hire people to hire people to choose these roles. And it takes a long path up the command chain to decide what gets chosen. And esports are new. So that's why things are weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got, you know, Gachikun was he was the top ranked player in the CPT standings who didn't have a sponsor. So now we've only got, you know, of the top 50, there's only, I think, eight. There's a graphic in there. Eight. You know, Momochi obviously was with Echo Fox. Brolinho was sponsored. Cool Kid was just with ESE for the couple of events there. But yeah, you've got some names here that add some value, but I mean, this is it. Outside the top 50, this is it right now for free agents. So,
and the one that's for sure or most likely to make it in is Momochi, right? Is he in or not yet? We'll talk about that, I guess, when we get to
put that list back up. We should block grab five of those guys to get sponsorships.
All right. Team Danka, All-Stars, block or grab Mago.
You get five of them.
Five? I get five out of the eight?
Yeah. Yeah. So three you can't sponsor.
Wait. Hit him with the block grab graphic if we're doing this. Sorry,
I mean, Mago's pretty lovable.
block grab!
Mago's pretty lovable, but he never does well at big events. I don't know if that'll ever change at this point, so I'm going to block.
And be sure to play along in the chat with a BOV block or a BOV grab, capital
B.
Actually, I'm going to have to grab, though, because he gets a shout-out from every top player. Like, any, Tokido, like, you know, won Evo and was like, it was all Mago.
Oh, so you want him on the team.
So I want him on the team because he gets some, like, tertiary shout-outs at all times because he's apparently the best casuals player on the universe.
And
so I'll grab.
Potentially he would help like raise the, yes,
that's
the tide of your team.
Thing ever to be is the best casuals player. So like you're bodying Tokido and Daigo on your Thursday night casuals, but then you guys go to Evo and you get 49th while they're like,
yeah, he loses to, he literally lost to like a gold ranked in Akali. It was really sad.
Dude, we're getting some blocks
2 years ago.
Now, right. does he top Marn or does he top Flo for greatest casual player of all time?
I mean, Flo is more extreme in the sense that he literally doesn't like enter tournaments at all. I'm guessing that. I mean, sorry to Flo. I'm guessing Mago is probably better. But
Mago's kind of a rock star too.
But yeah,
Steve, right, blocker grab on the bearded Steve mega team, Mago.
We're bringing back Raven's Claw Esports hashtag okay. Feel the Claw hashtag caw caw. I gotta grab. You know, Mago is a tremendous player. Be an asset to any team.
Put the nice. Put the names back up. I gotta look at them again real quick.
We should probably lightning round this.
Yeah, we're going.
Let's spend like at least 45 minutes on it.
I'll grab.
Okay, so what was you? Would you have him on your team or not, Steve?
Yeah.
All three of y'all got Mago on there. Sorry, Alon, you and I are not playing on this.
Everyone grabs
Momochi's a grab for all three, probably. Yeah, it seems like the easiest choice of anyone on this entire list.
Dunk All Stars, Momochi, block or grab?
Grab.
Okay, Steve, team Ravenclaw, hashtag Kaka, esports team, Momochi, block or grab?
Momochi, grab.
And Velociraptor School for the Gifted, block or grab? Momochi. Is this just all grabs?
Yes, we already said that.
All right, well, what I'm saying is you got to have some kind of...
I'm going to be brutally honest, and it's going to sound mean. We had to go fast on these. Brolini, I'm going to block.
We're
going
to change this to tell us the three that don't get in. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds so... Okay.
Tell us the three that do.
Left on this roster, I'm drafting Machabo, Idom. The last one's tough. I'm going to take Machabo, Idom, and Nephew.
That's my exact list. I'm sorry, Berlinio, Cool Kid, and CJ. You guys are good, but I like these other guys.
Nephew plays a different character. He's consistently innovative with that character, and he's young. He's going to get better. I have hopes for him in the future. Idom is a god, and Machabo is also a god.
Steve?
I would actually go with Brolinio because I think Latin America needs some more respect on the global stage, and he's a guy that can do that. I would go Cool Kid, too. He is so hungry for this, and I think he's the type of player that if he gets an opportunity, he is going to do everything he can results-wise to make sure that he doesn't lose it. And then that third pick, I'd probably go Idom because you know what? Stoop Kid. I was a big Hey Arnold fan. Stoop Kid leaves the stoop. He makes things happen.
But over Machabo?
Over, you know, it's not even just... And that's the thing with sponsorship. It's not just a numerical list of this person has 1,000 sponsorship points. He deserves to be sponsored before X, Y, or Z. It's all about what you want your team to be, what fit they are with your organization. So someone like Machabo would be a great catch, but, you know, it might not be the best fit for my team because I have different goals.
All right, fine, Steve, but you're wrong. Lightning round over.
The biggest thing I'll say about Idom is that I think he needs to switch characters because I think Laura's trash. Hot take.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get into it. But
you just don't
too.
Want Cool Kid on there because you don't want to give away. You don't want to be a part of DLC.
Abigail money. Yeah.
Giving away Chun-Li DLC costumes. All right. Thanks for speeding us through that, Mike. What's the next topic, Steve?
Let's see.
DreamHack India? How about that?
Yeah, let's talk about DreamHack India.
about time, am I right?
This was announced this past week by Jabali, who is the fighting game lead for DreamHack. They announced DreamHack Mumbai earlier this year, and now they announced that there will be a KO stage as part of DreamHack Mumbai. That will include Street Fighter V, Tekken 7, and Smash Brothers Ultimate. So one of the first major global tournaments for Smash Ultimate is going to be in Mumbai.
Weren't you guys complaining just last week about how DreamHack Austin and other DreamHack events like Atlanta like are shafting the FGC and that there's not enough room for the like relative to other esports that are there?
I never got into that.
Yeah, there's a difference between there's not room on the Capcom Pro Tour because the U.S. tournament market is crowded, absolutely. But I like seeing, you know, these bigger events, these more established name brands reaching out into areas like this. And it's not like India has no esports scene. I mean, you've had, in Tekken alone, you had Tejan and you had Loveneet. Both Indian players do very well at Tekken World Tour events this year. Street Fighter V, you're seeing players from all over do some damage in that game. Smash, you know, we're talking about a game that's going to be 2-3 weeks old. Anything can happen there. So I this builds into what I've been saying, is that right now there are more places filled with killers in or potential killers in games than any other point in history.
Yeah, so and I think
to see great players everywhere.
I think you're right. I think Tekken World Tour has done a better job, like, or done a good job at least representing some of these smaller countries in these games. And we've had, you know, sensations like Book come out because of the focus on these kinds of events. And I think that's a really big deal. And I think having a tournament in India for fighting games is going to be great. And I hope we have more tournaments like this that aren't on the same weekends as other tournaments in countries like the US or major European countries, et cetera. Can't be a bad thing. I just don't see how this could be a bad thing.
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to say? I mean, it's cool that Jabali, he was real proud of it, and I feel like Jabali puts a lot of love into his events, and his partnership with DreamHack, ever since he got picked up, has yielded a lot of good things for the FGC, so shout-outs to him and his efforts, and it should be cool to see it. Yeah, we'll get to see more talent that we otherwise wouldn't see. You already talked about Climax of Night, didn't you?
I did, but I kind of wanted to mention, you know, because I think that events like this could be a big part of the future of the FGC. You know, as I mentioned, this was a tournament that was focused on French bread games. So these are games that don't necessarily get the main event spotlight very often, but they are games that have pretty good turnouts. I mean, you had good turnout for Eunice at Combo Breaker and other events. You know, DBS, I mean, you look at the things that BlazBlue Tag is doing right now. I really feel like, you know, we talked about a crowded market. There's room for events like this, where the focus is on a particular community or a subset of the community. Because, I mean, you're going to have like 50 tournaments a weekend across the country that have Street Fighter, Tekken, Smash, you know. Nothing wrong with those events. But if you're a TO and you are looking for an area for success, look at events like this. Look at events like Too Fast or Too Old, Too Furious. Look at what CEO Taku has done in a few years. There are so many games right now that have communities and turnouts that are deserving of main event slots in, you know, in various weekends that aren't necessarily getting that love at events, at your big events. So there's room for to.
What's the viewership like? Were you able to notice that?
I did not get a look at the viewership, unfortunately, but I saw a bunch of clips. I was able to catch a very little bit of it live, but it seemed to do pretty well in terms of attention on social media, turnout. they had the people that were there were so appreciative. They actually cleaned up the lobby before Eunice Grand Finals to make sure that they didn't put any stress on the TOs.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, you know, if they're getting the viewership numbers, I bet you this doesn't go away. And I bet you that eventually the esports kind of suits turn their direction, their eyes to these level of or to these titles, I should say, because there will be money there, you know. And so if they can hold out and keep going long enough so that, you know, the fighting game genre of esports grows, I think that there's a place at the table for them. If what you're saying here is accurate, and I believe it is.
I also like it. I think a lot of tournaments would do better to focus like this. I think there's a lot of tournaments where you have, you know, it's a Street Fighter V tournament with a couple other sideshows that have 8 or 9 entrants, mostly pulling over from other games. And I think that leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And I think that when you do focus on specific games, you make people happy and you make people who love those games come out, and it looks better. And it does better, and I think it puts more emphasis on the huge events like Combo Breaker that can actually pull off running 10 different events and make them, you know, a special experience for everyone, rather than every tournament trying to do it. I think that would be better. Now, the game or collection of games has to be big enough that it will, as John said, get some semblance of viewers. If you have a game and you try to run a tournament for it and no one comes, then it's, like, depressing in a different way. So it's a balance. It's knowing that your tournament's going to work out on some level. But, you know, Climax of Night going strictly for these French bread games is pretty niche, and it worked out. So I think it's definitely a really good look for the future of tournaments like this.
I mean, look at the feeling, the complaints people have about Evo, you know, or about some of these other big tournaments where people come out and they say, oh, their game's not respected. You know, even though there's a big tournament, it's just one of several big tournaments. So if you can take a community and give them the spotlight and convince them, hey, you know, we're going to make you guys a star, show up and just do what you do, and we'll make it happen. And give them the opportunity to do that, they'll do it. I think if you're looking at something like what Vianality did with the NRS community, where Mortal Kombat X is still a main event game out there, despite it not getting play many other places elsewhere, and it gets really good turnout there. So I do think that events like this are going to be a big part of the future of FGC tournaments.
And let's not forget that UNIB, the prequel to UNIST, is a game that got screwed by the opposite. And when it didn't make Evo, despite being plainly the most popular anime game at the time when, you know, Evo let one anime game in a year, it lowered entrant levels for the game significantly. And so being able to have a system of tournaments that, you know, you don't need the Evo to get into is obviously, you know, good. Or, and not only don't need the Evo, but convinces Evo that, you know, you're worth it, etc. Whatever makes them consider that, we don't know yet. No one's figured it out. No one's cracked the code.
And I think we're getting away from the idea that if a game makes Evo, it's made it, and if it doesn't, it hasn't. You know, so, I mean, you look at events like Combo Breaker, you look at, you know, that, like, if you're a Skullgirls fan, you have a bunch of Skullgirls heads who year over year choose Combo Breaker over Evo. And I think that you'll start seeing that if we see more and more of these types of events.
All right, guys, I'm going to change subject on to you a little bit to what everybody really wants to talk about. This is real important. They gave Pikachu a voice. Not the Pika Pika that you all know about, that you expected to hear. In fact, it's Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds.
Why?
Two guys, a girl, and a pizza place.
Ryan Reynolds. I can tell you exactly why. You want to know why? For everyone that's going to ask that question, and I get it, but think about it for 2 seconds, Steve. It's like
I've thought about it for 2 days.
In every sense of the word, everyone loves him, especially because Deadpool's setting records. He can do no wrong. He's America's little sweetheart, and he has abs. Then you got
he's playing a fucking CG character who has abs.
blowing up, and Pokemon just as hot as ever. Hey, you want to make a bajillion dollars? Let's have Ryan Reynolds and Pikachu. And fuck you, you'll watch it. And guess what? We're going to, because everybody is going, ah, man, I have no idea, but I'm somehow entranced. I'm somehow want to see this. And not everyone, but a lot of people are saying that and thinking that, because it's like it's tugging on the heartstrings of your nostalgic childhood memories of playing the games. And you want to see how bad they screwed it up or something like that. But you will justify it and you will go in. I don't care how weird the fuzzy Pokemon look or that this is just beneath you or, ooh, Ryan Reynolds. It's like no one hates Ryan Reynolds. I love him. He's my man crush and has been for a long time.
I'll tell a little story, which is that I watched this trailer on my phone.
Were you in the sauna?
No, I wasn't in the sauna this time. I was in the atrium and watching this on my phone, but this time I didn't have headphones in, so I watched it without the sound because I figured, you know, you don't really need sound to watch a movie trailer. It's usually the same song playing over it. You know, maybe there's a narrator or whatever. And I watched it, and I was like, Pikachu's kind of cute. Jigglypuff looks scary. Greninja looks weird, but, like, Mr. Mime's kind of cool. It was like, okay, they got some things right, they got some things weird, whatever. I don't get why people hate this so much. Until someone was like, you idiot, you didn't even see it, watch it with the sound. I watched it with the sound, and wow. I mean, like, I want to be mad, but I can't help but feel it's some of my own personal bias, right? Like, maybe I just don't want Pikachu to have a voice, but it's fine that he has one, but God, it's fucking weird. Like, in the anime or whatever, Meowth speaks English, and I assume in Japan he speaks Japanese. I don't know for sure.
Safe assumption.
But there's an explanation for it, and it's like a weird voice, right? It's like a Pokemon trying to speak English kind of voice, whereas Pikachu is just like straight up Ryan Reynolds. There's no like filter over it. There's no attempt at an accent. Not. It's just Pikachu. Now, the explanation, I guess, is that like he's just saying Pika Pika. And our friend,
with the traditional Pikachu voice,
and our friend can like
he's
hear
like
him
Dr.
telepathically
Doolittle of Pokemon.
But yes. Like, why does he hear him telepathically as Ryan Reynolds? It just like feels like there could have been a better fit there. It feels like it could have been subtitled or like just something. It just is wrong. And like, I don't know, man.
Please, no bully Reynolds. Says that Gilbert Gottfried should have done Pikachu like Iago from Aladdin. That would have been way God. Better. I would watch that one day one.
Here's what
I didn't like
me
it, but I'll watch
me.
It.
Here's what impresses me the most, or bothers me. I'm not 100% sure yet. Imagine how big this is—a Warner Brothers production, right? So imagine how big Warner Brothers is. Imagine how big the Pokemon company is, and Nintendo. Just think of the sheer number of people who sat down to the pitch of, okay, there's this Pokemon who lives in the human world, and it's going to be CGI, and he talks to him, and we're going to get Deadpool to do it, and they're going to solve mysteries together, and it's going to be great. How many people had to sit there, listen to it, and say, yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. That will make us money. I don't understand it. You know, it will probably do millions, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Every kid's going to see it. Every person our
fan
age
of
is
Pokemon, of which there are quite
it.
A few.
You'll take your kid to see it and probably do that twice. Like, people, like, this, the demographic for this movie is huge.
They have to do it in some weird way, right? Like, the reason that all these live action animes are like in Tokyo or New York and they're like city based instead of like trying to emulate the actual subject matter at hand is because if you're going to try to put humans out in like Pallet Town walking in thick grass, like you might as well just make the movie drawn because it's going to look fucking weird. So they try to make it human, but I feel like it's a really weird thing to get right and it's very rarely done and most of these live action movies are hated. We'll see. This, I really don't know. Like, we just don't know enough, but it looks
weird.
That's
the thing. That's the thing. Like, if you look at any other video game adaptation, you can instantly tell it's going to suck. This one, it doesn't scream, oh, it's going to suck. It's obviously not going to win any Oscars, but it looks like an okay movie, which is like on the scale of
I've warmed up to it a little bit.
Yui Bowl to Yui Bowl is amazing.
Yeah.
Look, Ryan Reynolds, like him or not, his vocal comic delivery is very consistent. Like, that's what's won him over.
Plus, we get it. You like him, John. I'm you know saying, what? This is a fighting game podcast.
Good. Is no it? Smash talk.
Let's talk about Smash. Pikachu. No, Pikachu is supposed to be, people are saying he's the best character in Smash Ultimate, so who knows? Yeah, according to the tier list that has already come out.
There have been.
I know this. Let's transition to that. But first, shout out to Must Be Hacks for subbing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Must Be Hacks. Steve, what was your shtick on how the announcement of somebody retiring from FGC is directly proportional to how likely they are to come back?
The bigger a deal you make about it, the more likely you are to return. And
that's true. I think that's like 100% true.
Zero made a pretty big deal about retiring from Smash Wii U. And I guess that's still the case because he's not coming back for Smash Wii U. But he is coming back for Smash Ultimate. He got picked up by Tempo Storm. So he's now teammates with Axe and Alex Myers. So we're going to see him out at tournaments again. We're going to see him prepare for that big showdown with Sonic Fox, which he is going to destroy Sonic Fox in. I mean, what?
I hope so, too. I don't want, and I've already talked about this, but I don't want Sonic Fox bleeding over into yet another game that's that different. Screw that. Smash gets its smashers. Zero still on top all day.
John, did I see on EventHubs.com a official tier list for Smash Ultimate, courtesy of 1-0 Gonzalo Barrientos?
Yeah, he dropped his tier. I mean, that's,
what the hell's that?
No, I think it's fine.
But
he's actually played the final version, though.
Every character?
It's not about that. Like, people are like, people get offended.
What's it about?
Okay, so people get offended when they read tier lists because they have weird connections to characters and they're like, oh man, like, he's gonna be wrong about that one. Like, my character's gonna be fucking good. Oh no, he's overrating my character. Now everyone's gonna play him, et cetera, et cetera. He knows that this isn't like the exact right order of characters. It's just based on his opinion where he thinks things will line up. And frankly, exactly. Smash games are pretty similar to each other. It's very easy to tell, especially this one from Smash 4 where it's running, like, clearly the characters are very, very similar. It's not difficult to tell if a character is awful or if they're actually pretty good. Like, in history, I don't think we've been wrong about the worst character in a Smash game. Like, usually, like, we're like, yeah, that character's really fucking bad in 1 minute.
I heard Diddy's top tier in Ultimate.
Probably is.
We posted,
based on all the tournament results.
Yesterday, we posted a video from Zero about how Toon Link looks like he's going to be one of the best in the game. And both on Twitter and on, like, the Event Hub's comments, people were like, why are you talking about tier lists beforehand? The game's not even out yet. Stop posting this trash. And it's like, it's not about, like, a cut-and-dry understanding of which characters are going to be the best in the game and which are not. It's like, here's the information that we have thus far. We've seen footage of all the characters to at least to a certain extent. We've gotten to play a lot of them if you're someone like Zero. Here's what I think at this point, which is all tier lists are.
Exactly.
Even after the game comes out, it's like, okay, well, you shouldn't make a tier list on week one because you don't know everything about the characters. But if you're going by that, it's like there's some credence to that. But it's also, you know, you get to a certain point, it's like, okay, so is 6 months out far enough and you can make a tier list? And then in 5 years when stuff changes again, it's like you're never going to know for sure where everything's at. The tier lists are more a social structure for conversation, a catalyst for conversation. People want to explore the current amount of knowledge they have about the game. That's all this is.
Now, if someone's like, they should nerf this character based on a week of the game not even being out, that I understand as people being like, please, I haven't even gotten to play this character yet. Don't call for them to nerf him. Like, it's way too early to judge that. But if you're offended by someone else's tier list, that means you're taking it to heart in some way when you don't have to.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for the game regardless.
So am I.
Hey, did you hear that Piranha Plant's in the game?
Oh, my God. I actually, like, might try to play this more. It piques my interest more than any current actual fighting game right now. So they've done a great job.
I heard Piranha Plant is S tier. Is that true?
I hope so.
It is his time.
All right, guys, what people really wanted to talk about, and we'll be waiting, Steve, to discuss this whole show, is, of course, Justin Wong took Omen of Sorrows online and here are some of his matches.
I thought it was pretty funny. I saw him tweet like an infinite combo, and then someone working on the game was like, this is how you escape that, and he was like, oh wait, never mind, I'm wrong, that's an infinite.
It looks fine. So it's not a AAA game. It's an indie game, but and I think that this is the developer A1 Games' first title. So it's like your expectations aren't huge. And this is a horror fighting game with interesting characters because they're based off of, you know, a lot of horror icons. You're Frankenstein, you're Dr. Jekyll, you're werewolf, vampires, things like that. And so it's like, hey, it'll grab your interest. It's a little similar to KI in that respect, especially because you see Caleb so much and he's so similar to Saberwolf. But it's intriguing. The backgrounds are pretty cool looking. The graphics are passable. But the thing is, there's no gore. There's no blood at all. And it's like, you associate that kind of a thing with these kinds of characters because when you see them, that's such a part of the horror genre, is using that gore and that, you know, blood and such to really emphasize the intensity, right? And so to see them all just like tossing each other around, beating the crap out of each other, but no blood coming out, even with the fatality-like finishing moves, it's like, nah, that kind of takes away from it a little bit. Not maybe the best choice. But then again, it's like, It seems cool enough to grab your attention. I'd play it for a little while if it were around just to check it out. Meh, it's probably not going to replace Street Fighter V or you know, Smash Bros. But it's worth an exploration, I would say.
I'm really hoping for a chance to get into the game next week. I was hoping to pick it up on launch, but my life has just kind of taken a couple turns. So I like what I've seen so far. And I hope that, you know, it continues to impress me when I actually get my hands into it.
Does anyone in the chat remember what this just reminds me of? Not this is actually way more legit, but there was that weird horror fighting game, quote unquote, that like some Italian horror company was making that never ended up coming out. And it was like a total scam where they like released a demo. Someone will know what I was talking about, but there was this weird Italian horror fighting game, and there was like a thread on Shoryuken basically detailing all the weird mishaps involved with it.
Hopefully somebody in chat can let us know what the hell you're talking about.
Death Cargo! Death Cargo!
Yeah, Death Cargo is amazing.
Death Cargo is the game that I've always wanted, but that never happened. But I love Death Cargo.
So, it actually did come out.
It came out.
It came out in some weird form, according to a Kotaku article from last August.
God, I love Death Cargo.
Let's see if I
can. Oh, that was with the real live action animation.
Yeah, it was live action, and they couldn't switch sides, and it was actually like extremely creepy looking. Oh my God.
Yeah, it makes you want to take a shower after you watch it. But yeah, there are YouTube videos. We make jokes about it every like 6 months or something like that. It'll come up in the Event Hub's chat. And we'll just laugh at how crazy that. Oh my gosh!
I'm trying to find it, but every video of it is like pulled off of YouTube.
Well, you can. There is the Kotaku article.
I know what you're talking about.
That's it.
It has little clips on it.
All right.
The Jolly Green Giant just like smashes your head. And stuff.
That's the one. That's the one. Okay. What's going on with this Dragon Ball FighterZ Japan Saga tournament?
So Steve had more specific info than I did.
And then we'll finish the show with some unplanned segment on clinching situations, scenarios, if you will.
So, the other day on Giuna's stream, he was talking to Korean Wrestling Man, and they asked him if he was entering the Japan Saga for the Dragon Ball FighterZ World Tour. And he said no, because his controller was banned. He plays on sort of a hitbox-esque box. So that brought some attention to it, and things just kind of exploded. They looked at the rules on the Pro Tour, or not the Pro Tour website, but the if you look at the Pro Tour website, it says that all standard controllers are permitted. Macro functions and wireless controllers other than DS4 are banned. If you look at the rule for the Japan event specifically, though, it says, quote, only arcade stick controllers and gamepads officially licensed by PlayStation are allowed for use. with an asterisk, those with specific character decals cannot be used. This event will be conducted according to the Dragon Ball FighterZ World Tour official league rule. However, regarding the carry-in of the controller, we add the above rule. Please note. So a bunch of people are fearing that their modified controllers, their hitboxes, anything like that is banned from the event. It's not 100% clear whether that's the case, whether it's a miscommunication, because what they say with decals makes it seem like it's only certain designs that are banned because of licensing or whatever. It's just sort of a mess right
now. So it's pretty plainly just some liability lawyer shit that's like designed so that no one gets in trouble. In the short term, I think it's very unlikely this gets enforced in any meaningful way, and I wouldn't worry about anyone not being able to play in this tournament because of it. However, the worry is that, like, as esports becomes bigger, are we going to have to forfeit using controllers that aren't officially licensed? And that is a question that is very difficult to answer based on this. But I can tell you that this is just like Toei or Bandai or someone writing something that someone told them to write.
All right. Anything else to mention from there?
But I'm sure they'll let Korean Wrestling Man play on a hitbox. It would be very strange. Like, it would be a real blow up if you can't.
Well, Hitbox actually reached out. They went on Twitter and they said that they're disappointed by things. They said, quote, "We're disappointed to hear of this event-specific rule set. We have world-class DBFZ players who have already booked their tickets competing in other events that did allow for all controllers, only to find that they'll effectively be disqualified from this part of the circuit. The concern is legality, as is stated in the rule. We are more than willing to do a comprehensive breakdown of how Hitbox arcade controllers are in complete compliance with any competitive environment. We can also adapt as necessary to any concern by the tournament organizers." My big concern isn't necessarily that hitboxes are banned or not banned or whatever. My big concern is, A, this is coming up so late in the game. We're only like 2 weeks out from this event. And B, that it is a rule that somehow only applies to this event and not any others. Why is this happening so late with such little fanfare until the very end?
Some lawyer. Nah, that's all I'm saying. Yeah, that's got to be it.
It's just frustrating to see this.
All right. Should still be a fun event to watch.
Moving on. Yeah, if he can't enter, that would be really bad. Hopefully that gets worked out.
So moving on, we're just going to get a taste of Death Cargo. Check
all sick.
This.
I'm so hyped.
Let me fast forward a little
Did
bit.
Did you get
here.
A fatality?
No, so like, fatality. Here's the thing about this game is it doesn't really look weird. There was a lot of talk. Like, basically, this company promised like so many different things, and like you had to buy the game, and you ended up getting it on like not even an actual like DVD disc, but like a CD that like downloaded the background files onto your computer.
Zoning looks sick.
It
in this
was
game.
Insanely fucked up. Like, and they avoided corresponding to people. They sent cease and desists. Like, if you can find the Shoryuken thread, there's a lot of goofy history behind this game. And frankly, it's my favorite fighting game ever.
Let me see if I can. What are they hitting each other with?
Well, they also can't cross each other up. Like, oh, they can now. Like, they fixed it. I don't know. Whatever. This is newer footage than I've ever seen.
Let me see if I can find that green monster guy. Here we go.
Find a fatality. Because it's a little cutscene that they actually filmed with live-action actors.
Is Leech?
And then it's like,
Leech is really sick. I think Leech is my main.
He's top tier. Did you see that shoulder?
I like Leech.
Dash?
I wonder.
Okay, I'm going to fast forward and see if we can find. I'm trying to find the fatality. Yo, did you guys? Oh, like you have to put a Super Nintendo controller. Yo, is that Plasma on the right?
That is Plasma on the right.
But then Malcolm shoots 3,000 fireballs, puts Guile to shame.
God.
Yo, I want to see a fatality. Look at that slow moving fireball, though.
Is there a fatality in this video?
I don't know.
Just fast forward.
All right, enough of that. No, what we're actually going to talk about
Death Cargo.
It
reminds me of. Like, it's got that obvious old Mortal Kombat feel, which is a nice segue to mention the IPS finals that are happening today.
Yeah. What about those?
So, yeah, if you're not used to World Championship fighting games being decided on a Tuesday, we've got a Fighting Game World Championship being decided on a Tuesday. The IPS finals are going on in Chicago. The 16 have already been trimmed down to 4. So you've got Rewind versus Sonic Fox on winner's side, and Scar, our guest, taking on Samij.
Dude, I've been cracking up at Scar because he's just been nothing but tweeting about how he's been playing Red Dead Redemption and nothing else. I was almost concerned. I was like, dude, is this guy like in a slump? He got dropped by Echo Fox. He's just like doesn't care anymore. He's playing Red Dead. But then he's tweet quoting, I think it was Honeybee, who was like, man, it seems like the harder I try, the worse I do at tournaments. And he's like, you should have been playing Red Dead. And I think it's hilarious that he's still in.
He's been saying that this is sort of like his last event for a while, Scar has. You know, talking about, you know, maybe not retiring from the FGC, but taking a step back. So it's sort of like a guy on his last day at work. He just don't care anymore. and it's working out for him. He's top 4. So
Incross says that Red Dead Redemption 2 pro player in the top 4. That's how Dead Injustice is.
God. So that will that top 4 will be on twitch.tv/NetherRealm at the top of the hour. It will also air on Disney XD and I believe ESPN2, although I'm not sure if that's going to be live or
later. That's what Sonic Fox was saying, that he can't wait for everybody on Disney and ESPN2 to watch him, to see him in his fursuit.
There's going to be there's going to be a lot of kids asking their parents questions that they weren't expecting to have to answer.
Or they'll just assume it's like, you know, you go to Disney World, you see like, you know, Goofy, he's dressed up. They're like, oh, Disney is like getting into the act here. They have a sponsored player in there. I don't know. Whatever.
I'm being corrected. It's ESPN3. So the online.
It's not ESPN8, the Ocho. Okay. Steve, again, I hate to put you on the spot, but you're known as the guy that knows everything, even when you're not prepared. So please put your encyclopedic knowledge to use. I have some clinching scenarios that I want you to rapid fire walk me through. Maybe not rapid fire. We got about 14 minutes left. So, Steve, how does Momochi make it in to Capcom Cup?
Well, let's take a look at the global standings if we could, just to give everybody a refresher. So if you remember, top 26 qualify as well as MENA RD, and then it's 4 players through the regional final. If they're outside the top 26, they qualify directly. If they're inside the top 26, then their spot goes to the top player from that region. So we know that Gachi-kun is going to be in the top 26. That's guaranteed. And he won the Asia regional final. So there will be an extra spot for the top Asian player below that cut line right there. And that makes things a little interesting. Let's also take a look at who's going. This is directly from my spreadsheet that I use to track this. The names in yellow were players who had confirmed on Smash.gg that they were attending. Obviously, Chris T., that has come up very lately that it looks like he will not be there. But the big takeaway here is look at the players right around the bubble who are going, pretty much everybody. And then look at the big gap between GamerBee and then Toy. Over 200 points difference. All of these guys down below that are going, they don't really have any paths into the Capcom Cup field for the most part, except for winning the open premiere. There's a couple of exceptions, but they are so far back that they have to either get first or second almost exclusively. And in a lot of cases,
how many points do you get for third?
For a premiere, 200, second place, 270, and then winning is 700.
How many is fourth?
Fourth is 160.
So Cool Kid could get like fourth past Toy and then make it in if Justin won and Chris T didn't get knocked out, I guess. Stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, there's still paths for some of these guys like CJ Truth and Smug and to get in, but it
they're unlikely.
A lot of people be out of their hands.
So, are you ready to take us through some clinching scenarios?
I don't know. I don't really have all of this prepared, but I can try.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and start with Momochi, who is now currently the highest points-wise ranked player that is not sponsored.
Yeah. Let me see if I've got something for him. Yep, I've got something for him. So, Momochi, it takes a. There's a very, very narrow road that keeps him out. It would be almost impossible for him to get knocked out. And if Chris T ends up not going, he will get in no matter what. So, but he makes top 24. Nothing else matters. He gets in. Most of these scenarios are very specific. Like Storm Kubo has to finish second, and Nemo has to finish third, and Chris T has to finish fourth. Exactly. And one of these guys, like John Takaguchi and Cool Kid or Smug, has to win.
So Momochi made it, is what you're telling us, basically.
Pretty much.
All right.
Okay, well, what about a player like Punk?
Punk is still, you know, he's not all the way in yet. He can take the drama out of it by making top eight. If he doesn't make top eight, he can still get in if a few of the players around him bow out before top eight. So, like, Itazan's a guy he's got to watch for. Storm Kubo a little farther back, but Nemo, Gamer B, if those guys make top three, top four, he might be in trouble. If not, he's probably okay.
I'm going to translate this one. Punk's in too.
More or less. You know, if he has a bad weekend and the other guys have a good weekend, he might be in trouble. Even if that happens, as long as he's the top American player, if he gets knocked out of the top 28 or top 27, he'll still have a good chance, but that would require either Knuckledew or Justin to come through in the finals.
Now, Steve, how does Itabashi Zangief qualify?
Itabashi, even though he's behind Punk, because of that guaranteed extra spot for the Asia players, he's actually got a little simpler path. So if he gets top six, he's in no matter what. Outside of that, he's got to make sure that some of his rivals finish outside the top eight. So if Nemo doesn't make top eight, he's good. Storm Kubo, if he makes top eight on the loser side and loses right away, he's good. Gamer B doesn't make grand finals, he's good. So
Itabashi's in. That's my translation.
Sure.
Especially because Chris T isn't going. So if Chris T actually doesn't go, I mean, then literally just the second Gamer B gets ranked out, or if anyone who's ranked wins, he goes. I mean, yeah, he's going to make it.
Yeah. So he's in good shape.
Now, Steve, what would be the clinching scenario for Verloren?
Verloren is a little tricky because he, as of right now, is not going to the regional finals. So he is at risk. If Chris T's not there, then he only has to worry about Nemo, Storm Kubo, and Gamer B. And then that, so if they bow out before top eight, he's in. If a couple of them make it, he could be in trouble. So
this one seems extremely likely, but it's probably the first one that's not guaranteed. But seems I'll give it over 90%.
So, yeah. Steve, just so people for watching who are you know, reading your graphics here that you prepared instantaneously as I asked you, do all of these things need to happen, or one of these things needs to happen?
He says
In Verloren's case, it's at least three.
Copy that.
So, So if Chris T makes top eight, but then Nemo and Storm Kubo don't, or if Chris T just shows up and then Gamer B finishes fourth, he's still in. Because he checked at three of those boxes.
The major ones to look at here to me are like the winner isn't ranked between 31st and 74th. That seems like a condition that is likely to fill in all of these situations. Not guaranteed to fill, but How many times has a person outside of the top 31 won a premier event?
It hasn't happened.
It has not happened. It's just extremely unlikely.
With the exception of the regional finals this year.
Right.
In Europe and Asia. Or, excuse me, Europe and Latin America.
Now, Steve, we read earlier a tweet from Chris T delineating some of the ways that he sees himself making it in. But why don't you go ahead and tell us, how does Chris T make it into Capcom Cup?
Well, if he was there and he got grand finals, he'd be in no matter what else happens. If he's not there, then he's got a couple things to worry about. The first one is going to be the other players finishing. And this one, in this situation, all four of those things need to happen. So Nemo has to finish outside the top 16, and Storm Kubo has to not make top 8. And Gamer B has to not make top 6.
So those first two situations seem really much harder to fulfill, right? Because, I mean, Nemo's been doing well. Kubo's been doing well. Those could fulfill for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there aren't a ton of players signed up. Last I checked, it was right a little under 100. But it's going to be all killer, no filler. So you'll see some big names drown in pools because there's not much fat to cut. The more likely path for him, if you could pull that back up, is going to be getting that drop down spot, and that requires Punk to not drop out of top 26. So if Punk has a weak weekend, and if he's one of those guys that drowns in pools, he better hope that all of those other guys right around the bubble drown in pools too.
And then if Punk doesn't drop out, he needs like Toy or one of the other people not to win, right?
Right. So it's not, I mean, obviously, like I said before, in any tournament like that where you include Justin and Knuckledew and Punk in an 8-person field, you would take those three over the rest of the field. But in a situation like this, that is not a guarantee.
Steve, how does Nemo make it into Capcom Cup?
Well, Nemo can... he can do it by himself if he makes top 3. If he's in a spot where that extra spot helps. So that extra Asia spot helps. So if Gamer B doesn't make top 8 and Storm Kubo doesn't make top 16, that would be the tougher one. But that would mean that no other Asian player can pass him for that top spot, because right now he's 27th, so he's the first Asian player to underneath the cut line as of right now. So he would get Gachikun's spot. He just has to worry about those two guys and John Takeuchi, who can only pass him by winning.
Speaking of other
this
Asian
this one's
players,
really on him. Like, I feel like it's going to require... I don't think Storm Kubo getting below 17th seems that likely. So he's going to have to do some work, I think.
And there are other scenarios. This is not an exhaustive list, but this is just the simplest path.
Now, the chat's talking about it. I assume this includes Infiltration being in Capcom Cup, all of these statistics.
Yes, as of right now, he hasn't been... There's been no public ruling on that as of yet, so all of these are assuming that he is still in. If he drops out, that moves the global qualification line down one, and that makes it easier for someone like Gamer B to get in, because right now he's the third Asian player out.
And it would basically guarantee someone like Chris T getting in, I assume.
Chris T, well, you know, depending on if Gamer B and Storm Kubo have strong weekends, he still could be at risk.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
All right. Speaking of those Asian players, you've got three other Asian players in the field who have any sort of shot. Storm Kubo, as of right now, he has to finish at least make top 8 to have any chance of or top 12, excuse me, to pass have any shot of passing Nemo for that drop down spot. Gamer B,
or he needs Nemo to qualify not in a drop down spot, right?
Well, if Nemo drops up and someone like Itabashi doesn't drop down,
okay,
that's good for him. Gamer B, he's got a couple people he has to pass, so he has to get top 12 at least. Again, assuming infiltration's there. And then John Takeuchi, he's one of those players in that group that's cut off, so he's so far back that second place is not going to be enough. He has to win.
All right.
That's pretty awesome, Steve, especially considering you weren't prepared for this.
Yeah. And then you've got the American players. I don't have a graphic for this because I wasn't able to prepare all of them in this during the show. But, I mean, you have a bunch of players behind Toy for that drop-down spot. But they're still a good ways back. I mean, Cool Kid is about 90 points behind Toy. CJ Truth is 110 back, approximately. Smug is 130 back, or 120 back. So those guys need to make top five to have any sort of shot in the open premiere.
They need top five and Chris T to stay in the top and Punk to stay in the top and for Justin or Dew or Punk to then win the finals. So, yeah, it's a tough road.
Right. And the other thing is, like, Smug, CJ, and Toy. Toy is in the North American finals. Smug and CJ can play their way in. Cool Kid, all of his points came from Evo. He only has one regional point. There's no way for him to get into the regional final without winning the open premiere. So he has to, if that drop down spot doesn't come work out for him, he has to win.
Dang, Steve. Thank you so much for that exhaustive breakdown.
That was very good.
Any final thoughts, guys? We're about ready to wrap it up. There will be no Ultra Chen tonight because, if I'm not mistaken, Ultra David is commentating live on ESPN3 and Disney Channel, the Injustice Pro Series finale, top four coming at you in about 30 minutes. And there's also no Capcom Connect.
There is no Capcom Connect this week. They're returning next week. So this is it. This is the best we got for you if you want some FGC talk.
Hashtag caca. John, what are you writing on Event Hubs? What's coming up for you?
Well, I've actually been working on a piece where we talk about kind of one of the reasons I think that people don't stick with fighting games, and it's because they don't get a fundamental lesson in things. People skip too far forward to special moves and combos. They don't learn the basics. So that's coming out a little bit later today. That's what I'm focusing on.
Cool. Looking forward to it. Steve, are you done writing, or what are you cooking on, obviously?
I am actually working on a brief overview of the players in the Tekken World Tour finals. So you'll be able to find that over the coming weeks at TekkenWorldTour.com. That will be in the lead up to the finals the first weekend of December.
Mike, how's law school coming?
Got finals in about a month.
Yeah,
pretty big deal. So,
well, you have a nice house to study in. I mean, you've got an atrium, you've got a sauna.
That's not my house. That's the school. I live in a one bedroom apartment.
You go
with
to
no
a
sauna and no atrium.
That has a sauna and an atrium.
Well, they have a sauna in the gym. It's like one of the largest public schools in the country, like 60,000 students. So
I chose the wrong line of work.
Mm-hmm. You should have been a law student at UT. All right, guys. Thank you very much for watching. This has been Best of Five, a weekly FGC podcast. Thank you, everybody who followed. Thank you for everybody who subbed. Obligatory thank you to Die by Sword, who is our official patron, the patron saint of subs for Best of Five. Shout out to Alon for switching the show. I'm Efren, Mike, Steve, John. We'll see you all next week.
Love you, Miss Bye.
Good night, Canada.